Hey everyone, this is Mark Bonner and you're listening to Under the Abbey Stand, brought to you in partnership with Shout. Shout is a free, confidential, 24/7 text messaging support service for anyone struggling to cope. If life ever feels like it's getting too much, you can anonymously text 85258 anytime, day or night, and speak to a trained volunteer for mental health support. Enjoy the pod.
One of the most anticipated events in Cambridge United's history, and one that's been 21 years in the making, bringing a fan base together with one simple hope, seeing their heroes win. No, it's not the FSA Awards and UTAS's bid to become National Club Podcast of the Year. It was the first Cambridgeshire derby since 2001. And as you well know by now, it ended in defeat. On today's episode, we're going to have a look at derby defeat. Incredibly, have a look at winning at Wickham, as well as having a look at next week's FA Cup first round tie with Kurz and Ashton. To do that, I'm joined by a panel as usual. First up, Jordan Moreland. How are you feeling about UTAS's chances in the FSA Awards, more importantly?
Evening, everyone. I'm feeling, compared to the rest of the panel, quite fresh and perky, ready to podcast. I feel like the two of you joining me a little bit on the sleepy tired side, draining these big derby games, aren't they?
That's what it is. Yeah. Just not used to them. I'm not match fit for a derby I am other games.
Imagine then having a five month old and getting up at 5 a.m. That's the perfect remedy for.
All right, mate. We get it. You're
big,
a dad.
Big day out. Chances of winning the FSA Awards. I'm going to roll out the cliche of just saying, oh, it's nice to be nominated.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if I want us to win or not, because one of us will have to make a speech and that could go downhill pretty quickly. I want to win. Why not?
Tom's already started writing it, so don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. But the thing about this podcast is we've got a winning mentality. So getting nominated means nothing to me.
Can't wait to be on stage and then just pick up the award and then just say two words and drop the mic, and those words are Bonner out.
Tom, how are you feeling? How have you dealt with yesterday's defeat?
Good question. I think just on the FSA Awards quickly, I mean, it's worth mentioning.
Not a question.
Winning is not everything, but it's the only thing. Just a lot of sleep, a lot of looking at myself in the mirror, and just sort of questioning why we do it, really. Back to the grind, I guess. Back to basics.
Yeah. Obviously, we will come onto the derby and have a good chat about everything pre-game, post-game, and obviously during the game. But before we do that, let's start on a bright note. Tuesday night, headed down to Wickham, down to Adams Park, a fixture which I think most United fans, home and away, have a pretty unanimous decision of just writing off, especially Wickham away, as 0 points. So we sort of just play, you know, like a 45 game season in that respect. But we went there and won 3-2. It was a brilliant game. Tom, we were there. Pre-game, Casper asked us, would you rather win tonight or get a point at Posh? And lose the other game in that scenario. At the time, we all instantly said a point at Posh. But actually, I think we all had a bit of a think about it and realised that.
Sensible duo.
Yeah. Obviously, winning a game of football is better than, it's categorically more points if you would win at Wickham. I just so shocked that we actually managed to pull it out of the bag, given our record there. How surprised were you that we managed to get the plus three?
I was utterly astounded. We did exactly that, you know, last week. We sat here and talked about, you know, the week coming up. I sat with Owen and, you know, we sort of looked ahead to the games that are coming up. And, you know, as you can probably understand, you know, we spent probably about 85-90% of that slot talking about Posh. And Wickham was just like a side note of a game that we just kind of referenced was happening. But we very much knew exactly how it was going to go. And yeah, it didn't go like that. We were brilliant. I think a grand win at one on since, what was it, 2001, I think.
Mm-hmm. And that was also the only other time that we scored two goals there, if I remember correctly, from when we were looking.
Yeah, I think I think in a sense that was maybe the most reassuring thing, was that we managed to actually score like three really well worked goals. Obviously, the ones in the first half are a little different than the one at the in the second half. Lloyd Jones gets on the end of a really good set piece, and we've spent a decent amount of time sort of dedicated to slagging off our abilities from set pieces. So to see one go in.
Do you think Lloyd Jones was lost? Just assume the ball wouldn't get beyond the first man, and there he is at the back stick. Like, oh my god.
What? There's never an
nosebleed.
is that allowed?
Yeah. Normally, is this offside?
Normally,
is that an own goal?
The first man's shin. So, good for one to come off. Maybe it is literally just a law of averages thing, that, but it does kind of feel like we were working on set pieces. So, it was
shame
a good
we weren't working on defending them, eh?
Yeah, and it obviously didn't work out like this in practice, as we will come on to dissect. But it was a really important time to get it in as well, because the last thing that you want is you go into a game like Saturday was, on the back of six straight losses.
Mm. Yeah, and, like, that was the worry, wasn't it?
For anything. Mm. I mean, obviously, we lost anyway, so they you know what I mean.
would have had a better chance of getting some points, it felt like, on the back of that, because I was absolutely buzzing after Tuesday night on the train home, because it was one of those games where, like, when we got on the train to go there, it's sort of the first reaction is just like, oh, it's like a big sigh, no one's looking forward to this. There's sort of, you've extinguished any sort of hope, and then the last 10-15 minutes, even though we had a 2-goal lead, I was so nervous. It's the most nervous I've ever been with a 2-goal lead, until that, literally that last minute. And they did manage to get the ball in the box. And I was just thinking, if anyone's seen the Charlton Ipswich extra time from last night, you realise that anything's possible in this game. And at Wickham, it really does feel like that even more so. George, you're obviously watching at home with little baby Wes from the comfort of the sofa. There was, it felt like one of those games where everyone put in like a 12 out of 10 performance. You could easily make an argument for almost anyone being man of the match, probably. But for you, who would you like to pick out if I could ask you one player?
Baby Wes, by the way, lives in a world where we have a 100% record over Wickham. It's a balmy time.
And as we said, the England Test side is the best in the world. So, well, he doesn't have a clue.
I think it's about time we turn UTAS into a Test cricket podcast. But we'll save that till, after we've dissected the Borough game. Firstly, with the Wickham game, I just thought it was really rude that they scored two absolute screamers at the opposite end to the away fans. Mm. I think that was a really mean thing for them to do, but I'll take it. I'll absolutely take it. Man of the match, I think the spine of the lineup had a fantastic game. So Mannion, Jones, Rossi, Digby Simper, Ironside, they're all terrific. Shout out as well for Lancaster, who didn't start, but came on fairly early and really, it felt like he'd been there the whole time. He had a terrific game as well. Probably his better game for us, which makes his performance on Saturday against Borough a little bit disappointing that he couldn't carry that into a second game. But to be honest, it was it's one of those performances where you can't really pick fault or single anyone out for not having a great game, especially the second half. And Tom mentioned something at the very start. He mentioned the term saying back to basics, which felt like what Tuesday night was. We got the ball to Joey Ironside in the way that we should be getting the ball to him, and we were winning second balls, and we were, we're counter-attacking really nicely. We were getting people around him quickly. And the plan just worked really, really well, which is so surprising given not only where we were in the world, but also the fact that the squad that was out there was Fred Bear. We had people on the bench that Bonner was saying afterwards were literally just there to make up numbers, and they weren't fit to play. You had people sort of out of position and things like that as well. So yeah, to go to a team that were on a good run of form, a ground that is a bit of a bogey ground that we never get a result at, with a serious injury list, to be leaving with not only 3 points but 3 goals, which is something special considering our goal shyness, was truly terrific. And yeah, we needed a performance to to settle the nerves and to dampen this talk about, you know, him losing the dressing room and stuff like that. So yeah, Tuesday night, it just goes to, I don't know, make me feel better about the rest of the season and that we've got the quality and the work ethic still to be competitive in the league and hopefully have enough there to see us stay clear of that bottom four.
It did just feel like that, like last year's side, didn't it? That sort of against all odds sort of performance that everyone's sort of written you off, including your own fans. And then you go and put in a performance like that, carrying a constant threat, which was, I said to someone, even maybe when it was 1-1, or maybe it was the start of the second half, even if we did end up going to lose the game, I think that the positive would have still been there of like just the threat that we carried throughout and constantly managed to cause their defence issues. George, you didn't ask my question though. If I had one player you have to pick out, who would it be on the spot?
Do you know what? I'll say Simba. Why not?
Nice.
I feel like Tuesday night showed sort of the more exciting part of his game where he sort of drops the shoulder, takes it on the turn, moves us forward, carries the ball well, looks to play it forward quickly. Yeah, looked a real player Tuesday night. Obviously got the corner and despite James Brophy's dad claiming it was him getting the assist.
You've surely got to be slightly concerned for the harmony in the Brophy family there if he can't even tell you who his own son is.
He's probably getting the birthdays wrong as well. It's got to be the same excuse, I assume.
they don't even look similar.
No. Anyway, that's Simpers. I think that's, if I'm right, racked up his fourth out of 30 appearances for league appearances for this season. So that's always good news.
Moving on up.
Go. One at a time. Tom, how about you? Same question. If you had to pick a player from Tuesday's performance, who would you pick?
I think one that deserves a really big mention is Joe Ironside. And I, George, sort of touched on it there a little bit. I think he's like a goal away from being sort of undisputed man of the match from that game. I mean, again,
he should have had two, mate. He should have had two.
He should have had two. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one in the second half is...
There was two really similar chances where he just kind of got slipped in behind and just kind of dragged his shot wide of the far post. And then there was the one, obviously it's flashed to him across the face to goal, and obviously his shot is right at the keeper. I think it's still a good save, but I think if you're sort of picking, you would say that you know, a striker should not be concerned about if there's a keeper there or where they're positioned. Like from that part of the pitch,
you score.
You kind of be expecting, you know, you'd be expecting that goes in.
So that's probably what he would say.
Yeah. But like it was just Joe Ironside doing Joe Ironside things, I think, all evening. The second goal very much comes from him like hassling the defender into making sort of a pretty hatched clearance, and obviously Langster picks it up and does well. Just kind of like throughout the game, he was just such a handful. And I think we've missed that in some of the games against bigger sides where the ball's been cleared away and it's almost come straight back to us. Like they've just kind of, we've just kicked it really far away or not quite been able to hold up the ball as maybe we might have liked. And then you basically just give possession of the football straight back to the other team and it's like pressure straight back on. But he was such a good outlet there. And I think it helped that it kind of felt to me like the ref was on top of the stuff that normally he doesn't get. Normally doesn't get decisions going in his way for. Clearly that helps. Unfortunately, as it is, you know, we can't rely on that every week. But, you know, we know how it is now. But he used his body. He used the ref really well to basically relieve pressure on us, and obviously particularly at 2-1, and then for a few very very nervy moments at 3-2, that's exactly what we needed. And I think you know, as you mentioned, it did feel a bit more like the team of last year, and it kind of did feel like they just kind of clicked back into place again and go, oh shit, yeah, this is how we play. This is good.
Yeah, exactly.
The ref was my second choice for man of the match. Like you say, really? Protected Joe, disallowed that goal.
I'm not sure what he's disallowed that goal for.
And then quite rightly didn't give the penalty that we then broke away and Lancaster's goal came from. So
but that was a great decision, the pen, because I was in the away end and it wasn't far from us. And I thought it looked just from the body position and the way that Digby had gone in for it, like he had clipped him. But that was a good decision from the ref.
The commentary team were livid. And they went on about it long into the second half as well.
Well, I don't know why. It's a brilliant decision. They should have been livid about the disallowed goal, though. I'm not quite sure what he's given that for. I'd like to have a quick mention for Paul Digby as well, who I think was back to his best in that respect in the middle of the pitch, just fighting for everything. So like aggressive, like it's brilliant controlled aggression, moving the ball on quickly. Just that Paul Digby that we know and love that. Like a few of them has maybe been a little bit out of touch in the past few weeks. A player that is definitely worth talking about is Will Mannion. This is a question we've had in from AP. Thanks again for sending in all your questions. It's at Abby Stampod on Twitter every week. We love hearing your questions. So it's AP has asked, can Mannion take Mitov's place post-injury? George, what are your thoughts?
Do you know what? I was worried about Mannion getting a run of games with the whole Mitov injury, because his cameos and his appearances so far haven't really filled me with confidence. But credit where credit's due. How many games has he played? Three now, I think. He's, you know, played admirably well in all of those, has been unfortunate with quite a few of the goals as well. Definitely the Port Vale one, definitely the Borough one, and don't think there's much he could do against the Wickham two as well. So I think he's asking the right questions about sort of a serious challenge to that number one spot. I like quite a few of his attributes. I like how he is sort of good in the box, quite commanding. He's calm. His handling is definitely a lot better than what I've seen from previous games. And I think he suits the sort of playing out from the back sort of footwork kind of element of a goalkeeper that Bonner wants with this sort of style of play this season. So it's not going to be a walk in the park for Dimi to stroll straight back in. So, be interesting to see how the next couple of weeks pan out. But so far, he is playing better than I was expecting.
His kicking is fantastic as well from the floor. He's got some serious distance and height on it. Tom, does the Wickham win realistically make our October not a complete disaster just in and of itself? Just if you look at some of those teams that we've played, as you discussed last week on the pod, you know, your Derby, Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday. Is that win in itself already something that makes it, it's quite a pessimistic angle, I suppose, but, you know, 3 points over October, is that actually maybe not the most disastrous outcome? Well, I mean, it's categorically not the most disastrous outcome because that's losing every game, but does it sort of, you know, does it make it an okay-ish month?
A bit. I think combined with the performance at Posh, which we'll talk about, which I think was pretty much overall fairly positive. You know, I think it's fair to say that most people will feel more reassured now than they maybe did a week ago. At the same time, you know, it was very, very realistic. And I think a lot of people kind of expected a week ago that, you know, with the fixtures that we had coming up, obviously last Tuesday and then obviously on Saturday in Peterborough, you know, there was a very realistic chance we would have lost every game in October. And that would have been, I mean, that would have been a real shock to the system, I think, because like we just hadn't really seen a run like this coming. October obviously on paper looks really bad because, you know, we've lost 6 out of 7 in the league, and that's not good enough, like in terms of results. And that's absolutely fair enough to say. I mean, it could have been worse. I guess, you know, you can maybe look at it a bit differently and just kind of look at the teams that we've played. And, you know, we've had this conversation a couple of times throughout the month, but I think sort of three of them were Derby, Ipswich, and, Sheffield Wednesday, who are going to be probably three of the top six. Posh, like begrudgingly, probably will be up and around there as well. It looks like Bristol Rovers are a better team maybe than we had given them credit for. They've had some very good results since we played them. You know, I guess the big kind of standout frustrating result is the Port Vale one. So if you win that, that's in 6 points for the month. And having played three or four very good teams at this level, that would have been like a good return, I think. good's maybe not the right word, but that would have been one that you maybe, you don't maybe lose too much sleep out of it. As it is, clearly this pressurizes the games in November and then in December. It's a slightly smaller slate of fixtures over the next couple of months. Things like the FA Cup come in, or I don't know if there'll be rearrangements during the World Cup as well. So it does put a bit more pressure on those games because of the return that we've had, which, you know, there's no point beating around the bush. If we do the same thing in the rest of the months of the season, we'll get relegated pretty comfortably. So it does need to pick up, but I'm pretty confident, having seen what I've seen in the last sort of 7 days, that with injuries, people coming back into the squad, hopefully over the next couple of weeks, and generally speaking, just some of these players finding that level of form that they had last year that maybe went away for a few weeks, combined with a slightly easier run of games on paper. I think that gives us more than enough chance of just doing what we need to do, which is ultimately surviving and hopefully making it semi-comfortable in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we move on to the posh game, the big one, I just wanted to mention Fejiri Okunibere's obvious injury and going off in that Wickham game when he looked like he made quite a bright start to that match. So obviously, you know, we wish him well and hope that that's not as not that serious at all, because he's obviously coming back off a season-long ACL injury, I think. So hopefully that's not that serious. Let's move on. Peterborough United away, Jord. How are you feeling after this one?
I was feeling pretty gloomy and miserable today. And then there was a point this evening where it looked like Tom Walker wasn't going to show up to his podcast, and it made me even more depressed. Do you know what? Shattered. I'm really, really shattered today. There was something about yesterday. I don't know if you guys felt it as well, but that game, I think I was on edge longer. I felt so emotionally into it that today I'm physically drained because of so much exertion yesterday. But taking away sort of the jokier kind of answers, I think thinking about yesterday and how I'm feeling, I'm going to echo a little bit what Tom was saying a moment ago about sort of the positive feelings over the last, you know, two results and, you know, the performance levels of the week. I think if you take the rivalry part away from the game yesterday, and, you know, imagine that we're not local rivals with Borough, and they are just another one of those, you know, wannabe top six, top two clubs in the division, former championship club, big budget. If you just compare it like that, you know, like an Ipswich or a Portsmouth or anything like that, I think you'd actually say that the performance is something to be really positive about. Perhaps we rode our luck a little bit in the first half. They could have maybe had a more than one goal, but for the most part, I think we contained them. We nullified them up front quite well. I think we were overrun a little bit in midfield, but beyond that, we really gave a good account of ourselves. We challenged them in both halves, but especially the second half. And yeah, it's, you know, Bonner hit the nail firmly on the head at the end of the game when he says it hurts because of who it is and where it is. And I think if you take that part away, you'd be quite upbeat about what we saw yesterday. So mixed feelings, like positive that we saw a lot of improvements and maybe we can dig into them in a bit, but disappointing because of who it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's spot on, to be honest. It's I'm a pretty positive, you've called me a happy clapper in the past, Jord, but I'm fairly positive as it goes. I was feeling very gloomy after it, very frustrated, but only because of all those reasons you said, because maybe it's because I sort of thought that they might, if they were going to beat us and we weren't to score, I thought they might do it by like three or four goals and really tear through us. And because it was so tight and because we did create those chances, you talk about that Nibs one in the first half, the second half, Brophy not shooting. We had a question from Steve on that, which we'll come to in a second. I think there's just an element of frustration for me. It's probably being hypercritical, but it's just a frustration because it's a local derby that we've sort of conspired to lose a 0-0 game through one lack of, I mean, this moment of another individual error. Let's be honest, maybe Digby's error, not Jones's, I suppose, but another really poor piece of defending. Tom, are you feeling frustrated after it at all, or a bit more upbeat like Jord? Or, yeah, a little bit more upbeat.
It is a bit of a difficult one to kind of sit back and analyze, like how you really kind of want to like frame the performance. I think George kind of bang on, you know, got the nail on the head there when, you know, he says like, if that's Plymouth, basically, you very much like put the result to one side and you take all the positives that you can out of it. Mm. Of which there are a few, to be honest. And in terms of the actual performance, I mentioned a moment ago, but that combined what we saw at Wickham, it is something that does give me good confidence moving forward. Because I think if we're competing with the team that well, and I appreciate that they maybe had one or two good other chances. We also had one or two other good chances ourselves. But, you know, for the most part, we contained what is a really, really good attacking lineup at this level pretty effectively, I think. You know, they bring Clark Harris off towards the end. I can't imagine there's too many other games where they're subbing him off, such as his like effectiveness, basically, in I guess most of the games that he plays. But yeah, I mean, it's very, very easy to sit here and, say the things we're saying about, oh, forget the context of the local derby and forget who it is and forget the name and stuff like that. You know, the simple fact of the matter is, it is them. And, you know,
yeah, exactly.
In these games, like especially, I guess, at this stage of the season where, you know, I'm kind of contradicting myself a bit, but like other than the fact of who it is, like that sort of result against that sort of team, you would like to think isn't going to define our season. So if we can kind of give as good as we can get in terms of the way that we compete with them and get chances and ideally start to pick up points as we go throughout the rest of the season, then that's fine. But yeah, I mean, like it is them, and you know, it wasn't too much of a consolation this morning. You know, waking up and thinking, oh, we did make some good chances actually, but you know, we've ultimately lost the game against our bitterest rivals, and I don't know how much time we're going to dedicate to the people in the home end. But yeah, it's just horrible seeing them happy, basically. I guess you'll give them something because, you know, we were wandering around Peterborough for a little while before the game yesterday. And, you know, I guess they may be due a bit of luck at some point. Cause,
bit of charity, is what you're thinking.
Fuck me. I mean, I've only been to Peterborough like a handful of times before that. And sometimes, like, it sounds very bitter and it sounds very, like, salty and arsey because we've lost the game. And, you know, maybe there is a bit of that, but it is one of those things. It's a bit of a reality check. Sometimes you're like, fucking hell, like football's not everything to us, but, you know, just quite happy to get home, to be honest. Cause it's like, what do they call it? I'm trying to think of the word for it. It's when, you know, people like go on holiday to like Chernobyl and stuff like that.
Oh, it's
like,
called,
like grief tourism or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's like a safari ride. Yeah. Anyway,
through like downtown Detroit or something. Yeah. Let's just bring it back to football for 1 second.
No, let Tom carry on critiquing cities around the UK. This is cheering me up.
It's cheering me up a little bit as well, to be honest. Let me bring some statistical analysis into this. This is all from experimental361.com, which is a brilliant website. If you're into this sort of stuff, which I'm not really, but I think it's quite interesting.
They're paying you for that
sometimes. I hope so. You've got abbystandbod@gmail.com if you want another plug next time. But if you look at the XG, we managed to create 1.1 XG. So, you know, probably looked like we should deserve getting a goal from the game statistically. We limited them to 1.5. I suppose limited is depends how you want to define that. We did manage to 4 shots on target, one more than them. And that's pretty much where the statistical positives end, to be honest. but what I wanted to, you know, say with that point was this chance creation aspect of the Wickham game that we mentioned earlier. Jordan, it sort of felt like that was there again. We did carry some sort of a threat. But what do you think we lacked? Just being a bit clinical? Or was it this midfield battle with, you know, their number 7, I can't remember his name, brilliant throughout. Was it maybe that we just got slight lack of quality in the middle of the park? Or yeah, is it a bit blunt up top? Or what do you see was where we lacked something yesterday?
Yeah, well, whilst I would say they probably did win that battle in the midfield, I think the biggest issue was probably the front four and the lack of clinical finishing amongst them. Less so, I would say, Ironside, who was sort of playing a slightly different game, and more the three behind them, which was really gutting because, you know, those three had a decent Tuesday night sort of outing against Wickham. I think, you know, we talk about sort of the stats for October, and obviously the number of defeats is disappointing, but there are other sort of stats in there that are worrying. And I think it's just 7 goals in the last 10 games, and 5 of them have come in 2 games as well. So our conversion rate is really low. It's good to see that the number of shots and shots on target has crept up, because, you know, the run of home games recently, if you sort of leave the ground and you're like, did we actually have a shot on target? So there are sort of movements towards the right direction, but it does feel that what let us down yesterday was our sort of either our decision making in front of goal, or just very poor execution of what we wanted to do. That, you know, we took a pass when perhaps we should have pulled the trigger, or we pulled the trigger too late, or things like that. Or, you know, we've gone for a header that we should have left for Ironside at the back stick. You know, that was for me where we maybe didn't lose the game, but certainly didn't pick up a point that I think we deserved, given our sort of efforts in the second half. And I guess that's just getting over that is the big key, isn't it? Starting to turn those blanks and those sort of misfiring afternoons into sort of being able to snatch one or two, because that is then going to see the difference of where we currently are, which is that bottom sort of 7 or 8, to being where we want to be, which is back up into sort of the mid-table, flirting with a top half finish.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, just following that, I don't know what you guys think, but it felt like the style of attack on Saturday was different, and what made Tuesday night so great was the way we set up and we played on the counter. And I don't quite get why we didn't stick with that. We went a little bit more direct, and I don't know, maybe if we just sort of kept a sort of, you know, that a bit more of a press game and sort of the passing game, we might have had more opportunities. It seemed like when we did do it on the few instances on Saturday, that's where the opportunities came from.
I suppose it's another thing that sort of just adds to like a bit of the frustration that I was feeling after, which is like having seen how well we played on Tuesday and how well we attacked, that we just maybe didn't quite find that level again on Saturday. In, as Tom mentioned, you know, you try to take the derby out of the equation. It was a derby though. So like, that's probably why that frustration is there a little bit more than if it was Bolton or Plymouth or someone like this. Tom, let's look at the other end of the pitch. That's another pretty poor goal to concede. Add it to the list. We had this question from Marvin. Have we had a worse month under Bonner's reign for conceding poor goals? It does just feel like we keep shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit, doesn't it, back there?
Yeah, the one on Saturday was really weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah,
like
it was.
I think a lot of those goals that, you know, you can kind of refer to, like, I guess the one that kind of immediately springs to mind is Rossi against Derby. Obviously, it's James Collins that scored against us for Derby, but it was Rossi's mistake that very much led to that. That one you very much like file under like individual cock up. I don't think anyone would really disagree with that. The one on Saturday was just like a bit of a freak moment. Like, I didn't really like realize in the ground at the time just like what a strange goal it was. The weird thing is like Jones isn't even that close to the goal. It's like 10 yards out. And it just kind of like ricochets off the back of his head into the top corner. I don't know. Like, I guess there's tactical gurus out there, more knowledgeable than myself, who can explain why there's not a man on the post to just head that away. But it's a frustrating one. And, you know, it kind of reminds me a bit of the Sheffield Wednesday game, in a sense, in that it does feel like we did the hard bit of the game pretty well.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so frustrating. Because, like, you know, you look at someone like Clark Harris, for example. I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but it's like at least 25 goals the last time he was at this level. Already been banging him in pretty much for fun this season. You know, the wingers, the Poku and I think, was it Mason Harris on the other wing? Mason Clark, yeah. I mean, like, they've been routinely hurting teams at this level for weeks. And it kind of feels like, for the most part, we did a really good job of just like containing them. And it's like, somehow you managed to cock up the easiest bit of the, maybe not the easiest bit of the game, but it's a really clumsily defended set piece. It's two going for the same ball. I guess maybe Jones like loses the flight of the ball because there's someone else going for it at the same time. And it just kind of clips off the back of his head and into the top corner.
There's not a Borough player near them as well. That makes it worse.
But that's the weirdest thing. That's something that I actually missed it live. I was actually like looking over to my right-hand side for some reason, completely missed it. And you just think, oh, okay. I'd sort of anticipated it was like that Vokes goal. Just like a really simple ball in. It's just nodded it in. There's no one near him. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's just... I guess Posh fans won't have too many complaints, but it's the sort of game, the sort of goal, sorry, that you don't want to decide a game like that, in a sense. I mean, they won't give a shit. They'll obviously be delighted with it.
Win's a win.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That. And you know, to be honest, if the boot was on the other foot and you know one ricocheted in off their defender's head, I certainly wouldn't be sat here complaining and saying that we don't want that deciding the game, but. You kind of feel like a game like that, you want like it to be like a moment of quality or something like that that kind of decides it, rather than just like, you know. And if Posh beat us by just playing us off the park and blowing us away as they've done to other teams this season, then you come out of it and, you know, obviously it's a bitter pill to swallow, but at least there's like an obvious understanding of like why you've lost the game, because they've got good forwards who performed well, who scored loads of goals. And on Saturday, it feels like we just kind of shot ourselves in the foot a little bit there. And I mean, I'd like to think at some point sooner or later, hopefully in this sort of run of games we've got coming up, which are really, really important, we would stop doing that, because it's really, really annoying.
Bit of analysis. So
obviously, obviously mentioned the Sheffield Wednesday game a moment ago there, and like, they're doing all the hard yards, they're doing all the hard work of like containing players who are on like, you know, five-figure weekly salaries, and then you just do something stupid just to cock it all up, and it's just like, it must be so demoralising as well. Like, they've done pretty well probably to keep sort of relatively level-headed over the last few weeks. It's like, if you're consistently playing well, or consistently you feel like you're taking positives out of games and positives out of games and positives out of games, but you know, the points column is pretty much staying the same. It must be a difficult ask, you know, just like get up and go again. Obviously a really frustrating goal to concede, and
just to add to the original question, guys, like, in my mind there's conceding poor goals, but then there's conceding own goals. I feel like the two are different, as like a different level to each other, and I'm racking my brain to try and remember a season where we've scored as many own goals as we have. It's like three across October, at, you know, one at Bristol Rovers, one against Port Vale, and obviously the one on Saturday. And Tom was talking earlier about, you know, where we might have been able to pick up other points throughout the month. And you think, well, if those three own goals don't go in, those are three draws that we would have had. I know it doesn't always work like that, but, you know, you can make a mathematical kind of argument that it would be. So it's just such a bizarre topic to sort of break down, because we can talk about poorly conceded goals, and you can talk about, you know, the defensive setup and the shape and who's playing in what role and how you might try and do things differently or how you might coach it and stuff like that. But own goals seem to just be a next level of kind of unfortunate flukiness around them. And I don't know, maybe it's one of those things where it's just like, when things are really going against you, they probably go against you, or it might just be a case of a lack of confidence running throughout the squad. And I wonder if that lack of confidence is seen further up the pitch as well. Like, why some people weren't shooting when they should have on Saturday, and why some people were, you know, scuffing shots and things like that. I feel like the Tuesday night game will hopefully put us on a path to sort of end that though.
That's Steve, that's your question answered there as well, probably by George. Why didn't Brophy shoot? Smash that, George.
Mate,
nice one. Two and one.
It was right in front of me, and I've no idea to this point why he didn't shoot. I guess
it's probably his confidence.
It must be a confidence thing, which is odd, because I don't want to dig Brophy out, because I actually think he's played fairly well since coming back from injury. Especially in the home games, I've been impressed with him, and I thought he did all right against Wickham. But yeah, I think the three... Now, I'm not going to say the three behind Ironside on Saturday were the issue, because I think Nibs played well. I would have given them Nibs man of the match. But yeah, we didn't see the same level from Lancaster and Brophy on Saturday that I would have hoped for. And, you know, Tracy, when he came on, stretched the game a bit, but didn't really make the impact we would have wanted.
Yeah, well, then we know he can.
But yeah, the Brophy one, it was on his preferred foot as well.
Have a go.
Where I was in the ground, it seemed just like the right opportunity to make yourself a hero. But yeah, it must just be a lack of confidence thing.
The other thing with this conceding goals situation, or conceding these poor goals that I'm finding, is, I mean, I've been to every game this year and I can't think of one off the top of my head. It just doesn't feel like other teams are giving us those goals either. Like, I think that's obviously just the way football goes, right? And like, there's no guarantee that you're ever going to get weak goals like that, if you see what I mean, or soft goals like that. But it just does feel like we sort of owed a little bit of luck in a way, of like someone just slipping and then leaving Ironside through, or an own goal, a sort of free cone goal like that. I can't think this season that we've had much of that.
We need like Notts County in the league.
So
a keeper can punt it at someone.
It seems pretty unsporting, really, when you think about it, doesn't it?
It does, isn't it? Because we're helping other teams out, and they're not giving us anything back.
It's bullshit, lads.
They don't even need the help. It's like the top four in the league. Like, you're fine anyway, and we're helping them. Give us something. Fucking hell. Like you've got Zeno Rossi, he's like forgetting how to like use his legs. Like a crucial moment. We're not getting that.
Exactly.
We have to work really hard for our wins.
Let's talk about the end of the game. The reception for Bonner sort of showed, I think, the general reaction to the performance, and sort of an element of pride, I suppose, from United fans to be back in a position where we're playing a derby again, which is obviously, you know, considering where we've been in the past 21 years, it's been a long road. We've got this question from at the boy Jenko. He says, can anyone remember a loss where the fan base has been as upbeat and level-headed? It's a good question, this one, I think, Tom. It's especially after a derby like that, I feel like a lot of people coming out of the ground were very level-headed and were very upbeat. And we've just talked about a lot of the positives from it, you know, even considering you've lost a derby. Is that something that you share as well, in the sense, like, can you remember like a big game like that where everyone's come out and just been so sort of fine with it?
Yeah, I mean, one that's so dependent on the actual result for like what you actually take from it. No, not really. Like, it's in many ways, like, it's the biggest statement that could be made, is that, you know, you've got an away end which was sold out, and, you know, we've pretty much stayed right until the end, kept going right until the end, and, you know, the players are basically applauded off, you know, with a standing ovation, and that doesn't happen unless they've really given something. You know, you literally have to roll the clock back, what, like 2 weeks to when playing at Sheffield Wednesday or Port Vale. And you look at the reaction that those performances got, which, you know, maybe to an extent was a little bit over the top, but, you know, it certainly wasn't like everyone staying and sort of applauding. I maybe hesitate a little bit to like go really, really overboard on like the positivity around the performance and stuff, because, like, you know, football is a ruthless game, and especially derby matches, like, you don't want to be spending all your time thinking like we played really well, we didn't get anything out of it. Like, that's not what they're there for. You know, you need to be getting points out of them. But yeah, played well, clearly really appreciated by the away end. I think the away end was top draw, I thought, on Saturday. Like, you know, the atmosphere was created. The way that our fans carried themselves on the afternoon was, I think, for the most part, pretty good from what I saw. You know, it's anecdotal, but I saw their fans being dickheads. I didn't see ours being dickheads. So it feels like we kind of, maybe that's like willful ignorance, but it feels like we carried ourselves well as a fan base, representing the club pretty well. And, you know, I guess that starts from the players, that starts with the effort they were putting in. I wouldn't want to say that we sat and questioned the effort or the desire of the players. After, I think that it was the Port Vale game, but there were certainly questions asked of it. Maybe one or two players who have sort of had a spell out of the team, maybe showing that maybe we were right to question it a little bit. But I think it's been good over the last couple of weeks to just have it really obviously reassured that these players just do give a shit. And I think as a fan base, like, we've been pretty understanding on the whole of like our situation and where we are as a club. And, you know, at the moment, I think the absolute bare minimum and basically all we want to see from this, you know, this team is that they try and make up the ground in terms of like, you know, whether it's the individual quality, whether it's like the, you know, the resources that other clubs have got access to, they try and make that up through just pure like effort, determination, and like desire to go and get results. And, you know, we're talking about sort of missing chances, maybe poor decision making at the end and stuff like that. But realistically, like if it's a bit of quality that sees us short, like can kind of accept that because of where we are and, you know, in the league and with our budget. You know, we're not always going to have players who are capable of performing to right to the top end of this division in terms of those aspects of the game every time. So yeah, it's just good. It's just good to see them like really putting a shift in basically. And I think if nothing else, they kind of understood what it meant to us. They'll be as gutted, I guess, as most fans today with the result. And yeah, I guess we go again. We'll see him in April.
Yeah, that's very well wrapped up. But just before we do leave this this section, I do want to mention some fan behaviour, as you sort of touched on there, Tom. Obviously, you know, first derby in 21 years. Every fan base of, you know, a club of our size and Posh's has elements of trouble in it. That's not a surprise. It's I think you can guess what our opinion is on that aspect of football fandom, but that's not a surprise. I think what is particularly low is a large section of Peterborough fans singing a song about Simon Dobbin, which I won't repeat here, but I'm sure everyone would have heard it in the away end. It was loud enough and there was enough people. You know, obviously it's a rivalry. It's a tense atmosphere. There's a lot of hatred between the two clubs and that's all fine. But like that is just too far. And I did wake up this morning with a sense of pride just at being a Cambridge United fan and having, you know, Mark Bonner as my manager, and the way that the club handles itself and the way that everyone who represents the club handles themselves, maybe with a little asterisk, but I think you see my point in general. And let's leave it there and move on to a preview. It's an exciting one here. Curzon Ashton away in the first round of the cup. This is probably going to be one of the most useful previews you're going to get all season, because I don't think you'll know too much about Curzon. So Tom spoke to Dreds to get a preview of the game.
Right then, news fans, we're joined by Dreds to preview the Curzon Ashton game. Dreds is a Curzon Ashton fan. Obviously, FA Cup, back to it. Obviously, competition that served us well last season. Apparently, Joe Ironside scored the winner at Newcastle. I can't say for sure if that was the case, but apparently it happened. Yeah, so obviously Curzon Ashton, the National League North in old money, that's a Conference North. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's not a division that we're massively across, and obviously there seems to be a lot of like sort of well backed teams in that level at the moment. Curzon Ashton is 16th at the moment. Relative to expectations, how's the season been going for you guys?
Yeah, it's been going very well. We seem to, you know, it's hard to grasp how we survive every season. I mean, there's actually two teams in Ashton. There's Curzon Ashton and there's Ashton United. And just to grasp how hard it is to stay in this division, when Ashton got promoted to it, they got relegated the next season. So for us to be in it 7-8 seasons with the likes of Kidderminster and Chester, teams you're probably familiar with in years gone by that have been in the league, Hereford's, and you know, I find it quite amazing that we've managed to keep in the league. Not just keep in the league, but we actually compete in the league. You know, we're the smallest team in the league. Probably the closest one to us is Peterborough Sports, which is down near where you're from, and they actually said in the pre-match, in the programme when we went down, that it's actually nice to come across a team like Curzon who are facing the same battles, because we only have about 200 proper home fans. I mean, those average crowds are probably 350, 400, but that's because of the big away followings. There's actually 8 clubs in our borough, and probably the two biggest clubs in our borough are Staleybridge and Hyde United, who are a bit more accustomed. We're quite a new team, really. We were only formed in 1963. We've formed and we've played in the Manchester League, and we've just had a massive uprising all the way till 2015 when we got promoted to this league. But no one ever knew how it was going to go. You know, were we going to stay in it? Are we going to be able to compete? And we have done. But things like this, the FA Cup, to play someone like Cambridge, you're an established club in League One, and when we played Wimbledon and the others, it's absolutely thrilling for the. It really opens the eyes for the public around here. That, you know, even though we're only 4 miles down the road from the English champions of a city, which is basically one tram ride, this is why we struggle, I think, to get the crowds. We are, you know, a smaller club, as we say. As far as the season is going, I'm very happy with it so far. Even though we're only 16th, it's a very close league. Yesterday we got beat off a team which was far more decisive, let's say, in front of goal. They were probably one of the best teams I've seen this season at the Tameside Stadium. But we have had our own results. You know, we won away at Kidderminster, and we've won against Boston away, and yeah, we've been happy with it so far.
Yeah, good to hear. I mean, it's interesting. It probably mirrors a little bit how we've sort of found it in League One. You know, we're a team that maybe not historically, but in terms of money and resources and stuff like that, maybe we're competing with teams who are, you know, better backed than we are. And you know, it's interesting that league, because you've got plenty of teams that we played against when we were in the conference, and even back when we were in the league before we got relegated. And it could be quite hard to sort of set aside, you know, other than the likes of Kiddy and Darlington and teams like that, sort of like what sort of size these clubs are. But good to hear that you guys are competing well anyway, and it's certainly a decent level to be playing at, I think. I mean, let's get on to Saturday. I don't want to be the arrogant League One fan. I appreciate that we're not, you know, it's not Man United away for you guys, but like, you know, you've just mentioned that, you know, in terms of the catchment area, you're competing against some massive clubs, and you know, the FA Cup can bring some exposure. I mean, for you guys, how important could this game be for you?
Oh, it's beyond important. Just for the prize money alone, that sort of money would you know, Curzon's a club which is always been very youth orientated. I mean, they have, I think it's about 1,500 kids that play every week at Curzon's football complex. As you'll see when you come, we have a 4G pitch next to the main pitch. So that sort of money with the youth and everything would be fantastic. But it's more of a, to play a League One side, it's exciting, it really is, you know. And when I went to the clubhouse when we did the draw, and when Cambridge came out, it was, you know, 80% were absolutely thrilled to be playing Cambridge. You know, I said before it, I got interviewed before it off a fellow media fan, and I said Derby County, but that's only because you've got teams like Derby County and Sheffield Wednesday in your league. It's phenomenal, like you say. I mean, Ipswich, I remember going to Ipswich in the Premiership with Oldham many years ago, and it I think most people, I know the chairman was certainly smiling from ear to ear when Cambridge came out after Curzon. It was a thrilling draw, and like I say, I've been to Cambridge many times with Oldham in the past, and it's always been a good place to go, a friendly place to go, and decent club. It's nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess for the, you know, our fans that will be listening to the pod, it's, you know, obviously our perspective of the FA Cup is, can we get a massive draw? You know, bring, you know, obviously Newcastle last season, Man United in years gone by, and you know, I guess we never really stopped to consider, you know, what it's like for us going maybe to a team who are two or three leagues below us. So, you know, good to hear that, you know, it's one that you guys are up for. I mean, in terms of the game, I mean, I guess evidently, probably for the first time this season, we'll go into a game as fairly heavy favourites, I should think. Despite recent form. But, you know, you mentioned you've had a couple of credible wins this season, and obviously, you know, relative to expectation, you're going pretty well in the league. I mean, firstly, in terms of the team, is there anyone specific that we should be watching out for? Anyone we should be keeping our eye on?
Let's see. I think, well, as a team this year, it's been very, very like a team. It really has. I mean, last season we drew at home to Chesterfield in the, I think it was the fourth qualifier, and they absolutely murdered us. And it wasn't this manager we have at the moment. This new manager has made a team which is like I say, there's no really standout players. We actually play like a team. We have got some players like Adam Barton, who plays in midfield. He's a former league player, and he's, I think he's played for Northern Ireland. A striker, Tom Pearce, he's scored 10 already this season in all competitions. He played for Altrincham last season and he's done some wonderful goals for them on their progress to get to the National League. We have, as goalkeeper's very good. He's an ex-Oldham goalkeeper and he's a bit of a revelation. He really has. Who else? We usually play with two wingers. I don't know how we'll play on the day against Cambridge. I'm sure we'll be a bit more shyer, let's say. But I don't know. Like I say, that's the manager's job. That's not mine. We generally are a very, very good compact team. We have something I said earlier in the season. We have like a bar of steel through us, which really work for each other, really work as a team. And I'm sure we'll be a lot tighter than last year when we played Chesterfield anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting. That seems to be quite a few sort of similarities between the two clubs, even though competing at different levels, you know, more of a team unit than, you know, maybe particular standout players, the ones who sort of changed the game. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes, maybe when expectations reversed a little bit. But in terms of the game, well, obviously you mentioned about, you know, some of the attendances you guys get, again, you know, clearly competing with some pretty big draws in the local area. I mean, for the game on Saturday, like what are you guys expecting? Is it going to be close to selling out? Are you going to get sort of a much bigger gate, or do you think it's going to be quite sort of tight, compact, almost like a league fixture?
Yeah, it's very hard to predict. It really is. I know that City are actually playing on the Saturday next week. So I noticed yesterday there are a few fans in the ground with City tops on. I imagine it'll be at least 1,000, 1,500. I mean, I don't know what Cambridge is likely to bring up. I don't know what your away followings are. But I believe the ticket sales are going quite well. And it's very interesting, the people that are getting in touch with me. I mean, I've had a lad from Barnsley away who supports a non-league team who I follow on Instagram, who even said, would he be able to get us a ticket? And it's just opened everyone's eyes. Like I say, it's a really... When we played, was it Wimbledon, two or three seasons ago, I'd say they brought about 600, 800 fans up. The crowd was, I think, was 1,700. So if it'll be something like that. It'll be a good atmosphere in the Thameside.
Yeah, good to hear. And, you know, it'll be good to get, I guess, relative to what the norm is, it'll be good to get, you know, a few quid through the coffers. You know, you mentioned about some of the work that you guys are doing, you know, providing pitches for kids and stuff like that. So it's clearly really important, you know, in the community. So it's good that an occasion like this can, you know, kind of facilitate that, I guess. I think from our end, maybe it'll be, it might be a slightly smaller following than maybe what Wimbledon brought to you guys. It'll probably be plenty of our fans who are a little bit scarred from the derby on Saturday. But, we move on. I guess the big question, we know ourselves very well. The FA Cup doesn't always go to plan or how expect it to. How do you think it's going to go on Saturday?
Ooh, what in result wise, you mean?
Yeah, I'm pushing you for a prediction.
You're pushing me for prediction. I'm going to go 2-1 Cambridge. I think we'll put up a good fight, and I think your quality will just show in the end, but I think we'll put up a good fight. I think you'll be impressed by us, and I think, you know, as a team, we'll give it our best shot. Yeah, I'll go 2-1 Cambridge.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. I just hope we're not sweating too much. Ideally, I think, again, for our fans listening, they probably like a slightly more comfortable journey after what's been a pretty disappointing few weeks. But anyway, Dreads, thanks very much for joining us. We look forward to the game, and I guess made a best team win as long as it's the use.
Yeah, all the best, mate, and all the best for the rest of the season after the game.
Thanks very much for that, Tom. What do you make of it, Tom? Curzon Ashton away, you must be buzzing.
Yeah, the FA Cup, good to renew our
real magic.
Good to renew our acquaintance with it. I kind of feel let's just forget about the league, let's forget about derbies, rivalries, poor defending, all that sort of stuff. This is our bread and butter, this. The FA Cup. It's what it's all about. when the draw was made, I think my instant reaction was like, just...
Where's Curzon Ashton?
Like
well, what is a Curzon Ashton?
Yeah. Also just like, I guess like any other fan who's been battered by 20 plus years of mostly garbage football, just immediately thinking bottom half team, three leagues below us. It's just a banana skin in the making. It's just it's a horrible, tricky tie. I don't know how to build up to it, because I'd love to say that, you know, make a few changes, we'll go there, hopefully get a bit of confidence back into the guys. But I guess the way things are going currently in terms of results, we need to be winning this game. Like, it's not one that we can kind of take too many chances on, I think. I'm looking forward to it though. Like, it's quite interesting, you know, some of the similarities between the two clubs. You know, our friend from Curzon Ashton went into detail about, you know, what their expectations are, where he feels they kind of rank in terms of the size of club and the stature of club within the league that they're in. And there are some real similarities with ourselves in League One. So it'll be an interesting game. I mean, you know, clearly we're going to be pretty heavy favourites or at least odds on favourites to win the game, and hopefully relatively comfortably. Anything short of that will be quite concerning, I think. You know, it's one thing struggling to beat teams like Sheffield Wednesday and like Peterborough and like Ipswich and stuff, but if you can't sort of swat aside Curzon Ashton, then maybe that's more worrying. Good thing they can't pin this up on the dressing room wall, I guess. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know, the FA Cup served us really well last season. Obviously, some fantastic memories from that day at Newcastle. Some fantastic.
If you saw the goals.
Yeah, I mean, some fantastic things. That
we just running to get that in there. Like,
there were some fantastic things that we would have forgotten from that day at Newcastle.
Just moving, just brushing over.
Really enjoyable. Do you know what? More than anything, like, I don't care like how much the rest of our fan base will enjoy a cup run. I would enjoy like a similar sort of day out to Newcastle. Like, say we beat like Villa away or something like that. You know, people, I'm sure my fellow youth fans would have a good day out, you know, at a ground like that, in experiencing a victory like that. But for me, like, it's just all about closure this season. It's just all about personal sort of validation of not seeing that moment.
You're not going to miss a moment of the Curzon game though, mate. That'll be right up there when Joey bags.
Yeah, I'm going to be fucking glued to it, mate. I can't. I'm not going to tear myself away from it. I'm not making that mistake twice.
It's interesting, the similarities, though, just going back to the game itself for a second. That also goes right down to our position in the league right the second when this game's going to happen. We're 17th with 19 points. They're 16th with 19 points. A big difference, though, is that they've conceded only 13 goals in their 14 games, which is the second best in the whole division. So, potentially a tough defence. Jord, bit of an age-old question. Are you seeing the Cup as a welcome distraction to pick up a bit of momentum? Or does it feel like it's sort of getting in the way of league action? You'd rather, you know, just be ploughing on with trying to pick up some crucial points?
Interesting you say about their mean defence deck. It doesn't bode well with what we've been saying about our non-firing attacking line. That should be an interesting one next Sunday. God, that could be depressing, couldn't it?
A mean defence three divisions below us. Like, we shouldn't, you know what I mean? You shouldn't be scared of fucking Ely City's defence. So anyway, go on.
Tom Hunt in the centre of it. I think
We're going to be sat here this time next week just taking the positives from another battling defeat like Curzon Ashton. What it's all about.
As long as there's not a replay, right? That's not what you want. Here we are talking about another first round of the FA Cup and another away game, right? It feels like we never seem to play at home unless it's a replay. I don't think it's too much of a distraction. I could be wrong here, but it feels like there aren't Tuesday night games in November. Someone shout at me if that's wrong. Yeah. So there is a little bit of a gap. I think if you're Bonner and the coaching staff, given the credit you have in the bank for cup runs, you probably wouldn't be too disappointed if we don't make it through and you get yourself a free Saturday towards the end of the month to ease some of those many injuries that we've touched on throughout the pod. But they're a competitive, they're a competitive squad. They like to win. You could see how much it meant at the end of the game on Saturday to not get a result. So I think they'll be up for that. And as fans, we have to sort of mirror that and be up for it. Maybe not be up for it as much as Tom is with his cutout FA Cup. I hope he's gonna improve on
I'll
that.
I'll be making the journey, don't worry.
Improve on it this season because the last one was terrible. Sorry, Tom. But yeah, I think a welcome distraction, like it's there, you know, a bit of a run. If it could happen, a couple of wins, a bit of extra cash in the bank to redevelop the Habin, you know, what's to hate?
What's not to love? Let's also just have a really quick look at as we move into November. We've had this question from Stuart. There's a lot in the last two games to be positive about. What should we expect from November? So there's two league home games on the diary, which is home to Bolton and then at home to Accrington. Bolton, obviously, you know, tough side, currently sixth in the league, taking up one of those playoff spots. Just for a bit of, you know, back of the pack of a fag packet maps, if you're tracking towards 52 points, which, you know, no team's ever gone down with in League One in the past 10 years, I think, you want 26 points after 23 games. That's 7 points away from us in six games, which looks very doable. If you look at those six games, it's a much kinder run than we've been on before. Obviously, there's Bolton, there's Accrington at home, Forest Green away, Plymouth at home, league leaders, that's tough, Fleetwood away, and then Shrewsbury at home. So there are some opportunities here. But just looking at November, Jord, what do you think we can expect from this month? Obviously, there's only 6 points available, but are you looking for two home wins, or are you just taking one win out of the two? You're taking undefeated?
I'm looking for a non-stressful afternoon at home to Accrington, a team that have currently lost their last five league games and are fighting us for worst form in the league. So that could be a real tense affair.
A terrible afternoon, a terrible game of football.
I think we've got reason to be positive given the last couple of games, got reason to be optimistic. You know, like we've touched on today, the performances against Wickham and Peterborough have certainly seen improvements over the last few games. And it feels like perhaps Port Vale was that low point. You know, you've got to hit a low before things start turning around. And Bonner after the game was sort of, I think he mentioned one of, you know, a couple of reasons for the defeat. And he mentioned things like work ethic and defensive quality. And I think we've seen a response to that over the last couple of games. We've definitely seen the work ethic back. And despite dodgy own goals and conceding from corners, we've seen a better defensive structure. I think we've ended the month knowing our better centre-back pairing with Jones and Rossi there. So yeah, I feel like we're going into November a bit more organised, a little bit more solid, and hopefully we can see some bodies slowly creeping back into the match day squad. And yeah, I feel like I wouldn't be disappointed if we only got 3 points from the Bolton Accrington game, but it would be nice to, you know, to turn one of those zeros into a one and you know, maybe grab a draw against Bolton, which will be a difficult afternoon.
More than anything, I'd love to see a clean sheet again in one of them, but especially Accrington.
As long as Bolton don't score from a long throw taken by Jack Iredale, because I don't want to hang out with Tom Walker after that happens.
Tom, how many points are you taking from November, just before we wrap up?
I think four is a good target. You know, I don't think we're going to be expected to beat Bolton, but Accrington at our place, I think, is a sort of game that you would target for 3 points. You know what, George touched on it there, and it's a saying that we, you know, it's something that we said on multiple occasions, particularly at the start of last season. Got to go back to like basics, like zeros into ones. That's like that's how we're going to really start to improve things. It's something I think probably that's what's been costing us really, and what's been making things look a little bit more twitchy in terms of where we are in the league and sort of, you know, our proximity to the bottom four. You know, because I guess if you look at our first sort of 10 or 15 games of last season, I think there were a lot of games in there where we picked up a point where maybe on another day we couldn't and perhaps should have lost. I'm thinking of, you know, I've been 2-0 down against Ipswich and drawing, 2-0 down against Crewe and drawing, Sheffield Wednesday, a good team that we managed to hang on for a point for at the end, you know, last season. And at the moment, like, our record against those teams that you would expect to lose against is pretty stark because we have literally just lost all the games against them. So it feels like it's a good time to start. You know, I think there's a bit of momentum. Hopefully that can be, you know, capitalised on with a professional performance at Curzon and Ashton. And then, yeah, I guess you go into the Bolton game, weirdly, despite going into it, I think it'll be like, what, 8 losses from our previous 10 league games, which is a mental and pretty, on the face of it, pretty concerning stat. Weirdly, we'd go into that Bolton game on a bit of a high, if that's maybe not too far to say. And I think so much of our success and so much of what we've done well over the last couple of years has been about, you know, the feeling around the club, and has been about, you know, building on previous successes, you know, using that momentum. I know it's not really like a quantifiable thing, but it does kind of feel like when the chips went down, like we've maybe struggled, especially in the last couple of weeks, like really get it going again. So it takes a you know, a shock victory at Wickham and a positive performance in a derby, and, you know, the fans kind of like rallying around the group and rallying around the squad to like get things kind of going again and get things kind of moving. And yeah, I think two positive results and sort of progression in the cup, that's a good month for us. And that should be, I think, what we're aiming to do. So, yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, it'd be good to win at the Abbey again. And as you say, clean sheets, famously a platform to build on.
Famously a platform. Brilliant. It's been too long since we've heard you say that.
Yeah. They're not giving me any opportunity.
No, I know. It's harsh.
Maybe that's what they're saying in the dressing room. They're saying that dickhead keeps banging on about.
I'm going to pop this in my own net just to shut that dickhead up.
Clean sheets being this, clean sheets being that. Well, watch this. Watch this.
All right. Well, let's wrap that up there. Do go and check out the Barry Fry interview. I know there's a lot of chat about yesterday, which you might want to skip through, but it's worth checking out. Or if not, do go through our best of playlists, which you can find on Spotify. We tweeted them a while back ahead of the FSA Awards on the 14th of November. And yeah, you're right. We will not be shutting up about that if we win. So do get used to that. Jord, thank you very much. I won't see you at Curzon, but I might see you on the next podcast. We don't know yet, do we?
You'll see me on Gabriel Sutton's socials either tonight or tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Based on what I'm about to do after this podcast.
wait for our tweet on that, and give Jord a little watch on that with a Peter Profan. Tom, I will see you at Curzon.
With your tinfoil cup.
With the tinfoil cup. And I'm really expecting a good design of this year, Tom. Big standards, please.
Yeah, we're gluttons for punishment at this stage, aren't we? battling with the UK Rail Network to get to the Northwest, having just lost 8 in our last 10.
What could go wrong?
You'd have to be a fucking lunatic to be doing this, wouldn't you?